Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Oh, yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Okay, welcome back to the program, everybody. Monday morning program continues here in the sweatpants capital of Canada. I love this. I said to Pat, I see that you got the dress code.
Yeah.
Jean shorts and sandals.
The t-shirt. Oh, yeah. Every day.
Very comfortable around here. Very comfortable. Well, Pat certainly gave people a lot of things to think about. By the way, in the top hour commercial break there, you saw the commercial for RP Show, the shop, rodpetersonshop.com. Golf balls, mugs, hoodies, t-shirts. Paul Figler has written in from Red Deer. He says, one thing we will probably never see at the RP Show store is socks. Right, Darren?
Wrong, actually. And I'll have to double check to see if it's live in the store, because that was just sent to me for approval this morning. But it was literally, you approve it and flip of a switch, it's in the store. Rod socks are coming to the Rod Peterson shop. So limited quantities, but get them now. You should be able to go to rodpetersonshop.com and get Rod socks. Your face, Rod's face, on socks. You'll have to, I'll have to take your word for it. I'm not going to buy them. I'm not going to wear them.
Why not?
But they're in the store, and I want to know who's going to buy them and wear them, and send us a picture if you do. Because
Lynch will wear them.
Oh, yeah.
Lynch will wear them. Graham Barker writes in. He's the former chairman of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. He says, politicians sitting in their bubble in Ottawa need to know Canadians care. If not, federal dollars are in jeopardy. I completely agree, GB, and I don't know where to go with this. I mean, we're coming up, we got Jamarcus Hardrick's going to be joining us for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. A guy that's been around the CFL. He spent the last 4 years with the Bombers. One season with Saskatchewan in 2015, and then broke into the league with the BC Lions in 2014. Jamarcus, they call him Yoshi. Listen, you're going to remember this guy, because every time the Bombers score a touchdown, and he did it with the Riders too, he would sprint downfield. And when you consider he's 6'5", 319, like, it causes 3.5 earthquake. And he celebrates and does a dance in the end zone with a quarterback. That is Yoshi. So he's going to be coming up here shortly. But you see these guys, and you're going to want to support them. But I'm getting this a lot. I mean, quite often, I talk about, my phone is going off all the time with people across the CFL going, where's the urgency? Where's the campaign? And I've talked to some Hall of Famers. I'm like, it is not my job. I don't want to be the guy and say it's not my job, but it's not my job. I.e., there are people whose job it is to be doing these things, waving the flag. And it's getting kind of scary, because it's week three. Guys still haven't gotten checks yet. So where is the urgency and where is the campaign? That's what I think we're... And just for people that need to support the league, there's that. But also those MPs that are going to decide, eventually they tell me it'll be Trudeau that decides whether the CFL gets money or not. But are people really actively fighting for the CFL?
Yeah.
It doesn't appear like it.
No, it doesn't. It's far too quiet, especially to be in the middle of a season and have no certainty, no expectation of what's to come. Yeah, if we play, it's going to be in September. Well, that sounds a whole lot different than the NHL. The NHL, you know, it came out and said, here's our return to play plan. But they also said on that return to play plan was that we have to still make sure we're checking off health, you know, codes and everything else. But for whatever reason, that feels a lot more certain. It's going to happen. Our people are taken care of than the CFL's plan. And you just need to see some more action, because right now there's way too much uncertainty.
Well, what's certain is we got Jamarcus Hardrick with us on video chat this morning, or it's morning here. I'm not sure where Jamarcus Yoshi joins us from. So let's check. He's in Nebraska, Clark tells me. How you doing, Yoshi?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
Hey, good, good. I said the guys... Yoshi probably won't remember me because you were here with a brief time in 2015, but you're a very unforgettable guy. We certainly all remember you. And I got to ask you this. How's pandemic times for you in terms of keeping busy? And I know you got kids. How are things in the life of Jamarcus Hardrick?
It's been good. I actually got a lot of time to spend with my family. I actually gave my wife a chance to get a break. I actually got a chance to get healed up from a lot of aches and bruises. Actually getting a chance to get a head start on want to be a referee in the future and start on my master's. So I'm actually getting a lot of things done, but I'm missing football and I'm definitely missing Canada, man.
Well, I bet. And honestly, we miss you. I don't know what it is that I think about you a lot. I'm always watching for you on the field, especially when the Bombers score a touchdown. I was telling the story earlier how you always sprint down to the end zone to celebrate with the quarterback. Is that just happened? Did you start doing that in college or something? Or do people talk to you about that?
Yeah, I think it started when I was in high school. I just started having a lot of fun. I don't think I was good as the other guy, so I don't know if I started off getting more attention or I was just really having fun. But I always been a guy who wanted to have a lot of fun, who wanted to run around, who wanted to do something different. And I was trying to – I wasn't always the fastest or strongest guy, so I was trying to out-hustle guys or do something to give me a little edge over something to make a team. And, man, it's just a part of my game now. I just like to bring the energy. I like to bring a lot of fun. I like to keep my teammates up. And, man, I like to win and celebrate.
Well, you might not be the fastest, but on most fields, you are the biggest. And by the way, for those that don't know, I mentioned your CFL time, but before that with the Saints, then the Utah Blaze, the Tampa Bay Storm. But you really, Yoshi, have settled in Winnipeg, and it seems like they love you as much as you love being there. Can you talk about that special season of 2019?
2019, man. I just think over the years, I've been there for 4 years now, just everything we've built over the 4 years. The trust, the bonds, the relationship with the coaches all came together. And 2019 was a lot of guys who came in with a lot of personal accomplishments they wanted to get done. And by the time we hit week 18, week 19, we all had one goal in mind, and that was the Grey Cup. And I think the difference between this year and a lot of the years was we had a lot of leadership. We had a lot of guys that knew their role. We had a lot of guys that didn't care about the stats. I don't know if we had that in the past, but it was just so selfless this year. And we just got a lot done, and a lot of guys just took pride in what they did just to come to work, the pride the guys had to come to work, the things they didn't want to leave anything unchecked, and the extra work we put in, man. I think this is just testament to Coach O'Shea and Wade, man. The guys work so hard, you just see that, and you can feel that, and you want to work as hard as them and feel that championship.
You know, I talked to guys that were guest coaches in camp with you guys, and they came out of Winnipeg going, no, they're going to win it. Like, you could just tell with the attitude and just the sense that you guys had that you meant business. And then that day, Grey Cup Sunday, Yoshi, tell me about that, because from what I hear in warm-ups, you guys knew that you were going to blow away the Ticats. You absolutely brutalized them. You didn't give them a chance. What was that day like, Grey Cup Sunday, within that locker room before the game and carrying it out onto the field?
Before the game, I think it's just every day from the couple games, we were just building that confidence, building everything we need to go in that game. So by the time game day hit, it didn't matter who we were playing. We just had it. We had one more game in us, and we was going to lay it all on the line for the guys next to us, for the equipment manager. It was so much bigger than us, man. It was for the winning pig. It was, man, we was one step away, man. And you could feel it in warm-ups, man. Like, usually sometimes in warm-ups, you're like, okay, I need to get hit. Okay, they'll come to me later. In warm-ups, I felt like, man, this is everything I work for. I don't have anything hurting on me. I'm as loose as I've been for a game. Just the atmosphere and the chemistry you felt from your teammates. It was just a great feeling. Then when just the calm presence of Zach Larris in the locker room. I don't know, a lot of guys not beside the quarterback, but I'm right beside Zach in the locker room. I don't think he said one thing. I think he had his hand over his mouth, and I think he was just looking at his nose. And every time somebody came, he gave him a fist bump, and That's basically all. It was no talking needed. It was time to go to work, and that's the mindset we had.
Yoshi, when did you know you had it? When did you know the game was won and they weren't coming back?
Man, I don't, because the CFL game is so crazy. It had to be somewhere in the third or fourth quarter, and I don't know if we had an interception or it was another sack script, but we was up by two or. We was up by a pretty good margin. We got a field goal, I think. And I was like, man, that's a 3-score game. I just don't see us giving up 3 scores and not scoring again. I didn't want to get too happy. But I don't know, man. My core got shook. My core hasn't been shook a lot in my life. And I think when Metlock hit one of those field goals, I'm starting to feel it right now. I started like, man, I think we really did. I think it really happened. I was just so shook to the core. I don't know if I even finished the game out the way I needed to. I was just so like, man, we really did it. So it had to be somewhere late in the third or early fourth. It was a field goal to Metlock hit to put us up by 3 scores. And, man, it's one of those feelings I'll never forget.
I got to ask you too, Jamarcus, you mentioned Zach a couple of times. you know, the stats aren't there. He's not the biggest guy, but I've always said he's just a great leader. There's something about guys that they win. They might not have the best stats or the best arm or whatever. I mean, just looking back, can you imagine Zach walking into your locker room in the middle of October and it's like, it's your team, Zach? Like the position that he was put in and how he, came out on top of that? Like, if he thought about that, it couldn't have been easy for Zach at the time.
Couldn't have been easy at all. I think about it a lot. I actually have a group chat with a couple of linemen, man, from the day Zach got there until the end of the Grey Cup until now. The respect that he came in with, the respect that he gave when he came in, he was very quiet. He was very seeing how things ran our way. He didn't want to step on any toes, but he wanted to show guys that he was ready to work. He was willing to speak up in meetings. He was willing not to be the new guy and be quiet. And he was quiet around the locker room, and thanks to he got to know people. But far as in the meeting room, the things that he saw, he didn't wait till the weekend. He didn't wait till later. He said it did, even if it didn't like it. Even if it was hard on him or hard on the old lineman, but it was the best thing for the team. He wasn't scared to bring those conversations up. Just I don't know how to fit it. He fit in like a glove, man. When he first got there, I don't know if we was on a bye. We had a couple of days off, but he went out to eat with the old lineman and a couple of guys, and we was like, man, this guy's one of us. He's been, it feels like we've known him my whole life. And just his vibe, man. He has one of those vibes that just brings you up, man. When Zach come in, I know he's not going to say a lot, but I know it's time to work. He has a look on his face. I've only seen it 4 games, but it's a look before a game time. I know for the rest of my life, if I see it, it's time to go to work. And what Zach did was amazing, man. He came in, he fit in, he led us. He was a great teammate. And, man, my kids call him Uncle Zach now.
That's amazing. Well, you know, here's the thing. And I know, Darren, you're just sitting here enjoying this interview, but Zach is a leader, and he's a little prickly because you know what? He's going to say those things that Yoshi just said. And some people don't like to be told those things, but do you want to win or not? He brings the game up. And I think, Jamarcus, you guys might win another Grey Cup or two with Zach there because he has that ability. I was just worried about his head, and I'm sure you guys were too, and he's passed all those tests.
Yes, he's passed all the tests. He's one of the tough guys I've been around. Only been around for a month or so. But far as coming in and going to work and fitting in with guys and not showing us that he want to take a hit. We don't want you to get hit, but he won't show us. It's not even about his head. He's coming here for one goal, and that was to win a championship. And he didn't show us that was his only goal, man. And he showed us that.
And he passed it. Now, just a couple questions about you before I let you go. That right tackle spot in Winnipeg, was it a situation? What is it with the scheme there? Something that just fits your game? Because it just seemed like everybody could see your talent, but you looked like you were looking for the right fit, and you found it in Winnipeg. What is it for you that fits there on that Bomber O-line?
Being nasty, being able to run around, being able to use my athleticism. I know it's a passing league, but we get to pound the ball over there. I get to run around. I get to hit DBs. They use them a lot in the screen games. I get to be in open field a lot. So basically, I don't know. They get to let this big body roam around. They get to let me get out in open field, get to let me have fun and hit people. And Winnipeg, there was a lot of hardworking people. When I first got there, was a lot of guys who'd been cut and a lot of guys was on their last leg. And then, I don't know, man, Oaks put us all together and it was perfect, man. We was all guys that was hungry to prove that we belong somewhere and somebody give us a fair shot. I just think I got a shot with Winnipeg and I took it and I rode with it. And I was just great to have the people around me.
Yeah, and you're still rolling with it one day at a time. And also the name Yoshi, how many times have you had to explain to people that don't know who Yoshi is why that's your nickname?
I had explained a couple of times, but I don't mind. I didn't know my dad growing up, and I had a best friend named Mario. We was going to Boys and Girls Club every day. And every day we got to Boys and Girls Club, everyone was like, here's go Mario and Yoshi, Mario and Yoshi. And I used to fight people about it all the way up until seventh grade. Don't call me Yoshi. And I think about seventh grade, I found out who my real dad was. It was actually me and Mario had the same dad. And, man, Mario and Yoshi meant a lot more to me. So from that day on, when I found out, I was like, I go by Yoshi. And I already looked up to Mario like as one of my best friends and big brothers. And for him to actually be one of my stepbrothers is why the name really means a lot to me.
Yeah, well, you're universally known as that across the CFL now. And I thought it was because you played the video game a ton as a kid. I didn't realize that was a story. That's a way better story.
Yeah, that's the story there. Yeah, I was more of a Sonic guy growing up. I wasn't a Mario guy. But yeah, I met my brother Mario and Yoshi, man. That's how it started.
Well, that is an outstanding story. Well, Yoshi, it's been great catching up. I know you were here in a brief time, but people still talk about you here, too. You're loved here, too, man. So I appreciate it. Good luck with all you're doing. I hope to see you on a field soon.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. You take care, man. Love everything you're doing, man.
Thank you. Good seeing you. Jamarcus Hardrick joining us from Nebraska today. Now, if you're supporting the CFL, you're supporting a guy like that. How do you like that?
It's pretty clear, right? There's good people all across this league and great stories across the league and a whole ton of history, and it's made up of guys like that, right? They've been doing this for 100 years. We've got to find a way to make sure that we, you know, support the CFL and guys like that.
It's becoming a bit of a theme today.
It is.
But it was nice catching up with him again. I just 6'5", 319, and every time the Bombers score a touchdown, look out for Yoshi because he's going to be boom, 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 boom down the field to grab the quarterback and throw him up in the air.
Love that story, too. It's like, hey, brother, what's up? And, you know, stop calling me Yoshi. Wait, we are brothers? Yeah, let's go. Like, I love it.
I know.
It's so great.
It's like in another episode of The Ranch.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll take a break and be back. We'll be talking a little more CFL Sim. We'll get serious with Jason Kurzweil. I mean, I assume that's supposed to be a serious conversation, isn't it, from the University of Calgary about Canada West sports. So lots to get to today. Still plenty of time left in hour two. It's episode 260 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. We'll be right back on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hi, we are Pure Clean Restoration Regina, and today we're at Modern Men's Salon disinfecting and applying Aegis Microbe Shield Protection. Aegis Microbe Shield creates a layer of confidence when reopening your business. It actively works in between cleanings to reduce the microbial load and keep places like Modern Men's Salon safer in between regular cleaning practices. As Saskatchewan reopens and the salons prepare for more traffic, this protection is an extra level of security for both staff and customers.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
Nat, what are the top five reasons people come to Suds?
Number five, our advanced technology protects your finish and keeps your car clean longer. Number four, we knock off the snow and ice and towel dry to prevent freeze-up. Number three, our famous Suds Ultimate thoroughly cleans your car's interior. Number two, you never need an appointment and you get a showroom shine. And the number one reason, we treat our customers like family.
Treat yourself and your car to a Suds full-service car wash.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. It's going across the CFL like wildfire. The opening segment of this show, me wearing a Blue Bombers t-shirt, which I still have and will wear proudly. There's a Ticats fan watching that says he's going to send a Ticats jersey. Will you wear it? Clark told him, yes.
Of course.
He will. Yes. It's a CFL show, not a Rider show, and people are really gravitating to it. They're finally getting it.
Jerseys, t-shirts, I tell you, that stuff is awesome. It's great marketing. You send it, we'll wear it. But it's the stuff, you know, Since a jersey you'll probably wear once. It, now, if you got like a, if you had a Blue Bomber quarter zip or golf shirt,
I'd wear it all the time.
You might wear it the whole show. Oh, yeah. That's a different story.
Right. I'd have to pay for that.
Yeah.
Sports update. The medical director of the NFL Players Union has recommended that all players stop private workouts together. Dr. Tom Mayer told members of the NFLPA in a message Saturday that the risk of being stricken by the coronavirus is too great to be staging those workouts. Mayer said staff was working on the best mitigation procedures at team facilities for both training camps and the upcoming season and advised against any voluntary joint practices before training camp commences. In recent days, members of the Buccaneers, Cowboys, 49ers, and Texans organizations tested positive for COVID-19. All of Toronto FC players are back at the club's North Toronto Training Center with the return of star striker Jose Altidore. The U.S. international had been at his Florida home until last Wednesday when he came north to rejoin the team. A club spokesman said Altidore is training on his own while fulfilling a two-week quarantine and will rejoin the club's full training sessions when that is over. This sports update for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. They feature free citywide delivery. See their Facebook page for their takeout menu. See it, Wendell's. And Ben Cahoon's G2G protein bars, energy bars, fresh, natural, healthy, all delicious, seven delicious flavors. RP Show viewers get 20% off by using the promo code RPSHOW at g2gbars.ca. And let me check the poll results. Have you been keeping abreast of these
today?
Not
the poll results.
Okay, for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. The question is, was Steve Simmons wrong to disclose Austin Matthews' coronavirus test results? 52% of you saying yes on Twitter, 48% saying no. On Facebook, what is it in front of you?
70% say no.
Whoa.
But it's...
Yeah,
and it's not overly surprising to me. You and I think, have kind of been leaning no, that he hasn't done anything wrong, right? We've laid it out. Our opinions, and I think a lot of people that are watching this show believe that. Twitter, so, you know, some of the audience is going to watch this show later, or they're going to listen to the podcast, which they do often, and I think their vote might change. But I think on the surface, all you're seeing is just the hate against Steve Simmons. So we have the pack mentality, and they're voting, well, yeah, he's wrong. He's wrong because people on my team are complaining, right?
I agree with you. Just interesting that Pat Fiacco, a former mayor of a major Canadian city here in hour one, said Steve Simmons did nothing wrong. He reported the truth. Let that sink in for a while.
Mm-hmm.
When did reporting the truth or saying the truth become a bad thing in this society?
Right. And deciding what's right and what's wrong. Like, who decides, right?
I love this so much. Monty's watching in Saskatoon. He says, get over it, please. Monty, you please get over it. Please get over getting over things. Can you get over it, please? And then we'll get over it if you get over it, Monty. By the way, Gregory Lee writes in. He's the brother of Alan the intern. Gregory needs a nickname.
Yeah.
He says, what's your guy's favorite pasta? And before I answer that, I was listening to ESPN radio yesterday on my way out to the golf course. It's like 20 miles.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are these poor saps talking about with no sports? So I haven't listened to ESPN radio in ages. I listened to Levitard, and that's it. Mostly, I listened to Howard Stern. And it was all this kind of stuff. What's your favorite pizza? What's your favorite pasta? What's your favorite this? Who's the best all-time team of that? And I'm like, that is so 90 days ago.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I mean, you got to fill 24 hours of sports talk. Listen, I get it. But, man, that would be long days talking about that kind of stuff all the time. Favorite kind of pasta is all of it, by the way. All of it.
Yes.
It's just shaped different. Spaghetti, penne, gnocchi.
Oh, so good.
I'll eat it all.
I love pasta.
Look at me.
But you're right. Where does the conversation go beyond that? Beyond, I like pasta. I like pasta too. What kind do you like? All of it. Me too.
Show over.
Yeah. What do you do for the next 2 hours? Right? It doesn't go anywhere from that. It's kind of tough.
Well, chiming in, Jeff, the Stamps fan, says, of course we have a right to know Matthews has COVID-19. It's a public health matter. I'm not sure where I fall. I will tell you this, as a guy that's been in the media business now 31 years, if somebody asked me not to report it, I wouldn't report it. I'm not sure if anybody had that conversation with Steve Simmons or not. That's why it's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's COVID related in terms of our poll question, but it's different than do you think they'll play or do you not think they'll play or who's the best all-time quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Here's an interesting question that makes you think.
Yeah, it really does. It's very interesting. The teams aren't releasing the names, but is that different from teams not releasing injuries? And then a reporter finds out what the injury is and reports on
it's
it?
It's no different.
And people want to know how long he's going to be out for, or who's affected, you know. And unfortunately, you know, if somebody that's maybe one of the black aces, you know, that doesn't play in the playoffs, or, you know, a fourth line guy or somebody who's in and out of the lineup gets, you know, coronavirus, okay, you know, you move on. Not a real big impact. But if your star player gets it, all of a sudden, maybe we shouldn't play. Maybe we got to think about this a little bit more. Maybe they're rushing the players back too soon. All of a sudden, he comes with a little weight behind the name and can create a little bit of action. It makes more people wake up and listen. It's news. It's big news.
To the question wall, Taylor Soulier says, hey, Rod, do you know if there's going to be an NFL this year? What's your prediction? I need NFL at the very least if we don't have a CFL. I'm hopeful like everybody else. Like I said, I was watching ESPN this morning. They're talking about Dak playing this year under the franchise tag in Dallas. I'm like, do you guys not know there's a pandemic? Oh, wait. You're doing like everybody else. You're just assuming there's going to be a season until you're told there's not going to be. How could there be? Honestly, training camps are supposed to open in a month. They're talking about a second wave in the fall. I'd be stunned. I'm not done on that, but Colin in Ottawa, can you put his comment up? Do you still have it, guys? Steve Simmons is not liked in the sports community. If Rick Westhead or Ryan Rashog broke the news of Matthew's positive diagnosis, there would be way less controversy. So I can't decide if Colin's on Simmons' side or not. Who cares who breaks the news? Steve Simmons is not liked in the sports community because he says things that people don't like that are the truth. This is right down his line. This is him MO, his MO. I'm not liked because I say the truth. I just have a little, what should I say, nicer way of putting it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are guys that put the truth way nicer than I do. But Steve Simmons is black and white. You know, whether you like it or not, something flashed in my mind that I don't want to say. I'll tell you in the break. When did reporting the truth become a crime?
Yeah.
It's actually not. That's all. So Rick Westhead, you know, I'm not even sure if Rick Westhead is that. I mean, he's the guy that seemed to me anti-major junior hockey, doing all the coverage of the lawsuits against the CHL. CHL has its problems, but I don't think these players are aggrieved or being used as slaves. That's just me. Okay, Jason Kurzweil is ready to go. He's going to get me out of hot water here on this topic. From the University of Calgary joins us, the AD. Jason, I appreciate you joining us today. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good, good. Can I just warm you up with this question? Your take on the Steve Simmons situation, did he do anything wrong with reporting Austin Matthews positive coronavirus? And if you don't want to answer, don't. But I'm just interested in your take as a guy in your role.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I've just been listening to you here for the last 5 minutes, wondering if you're going to ask me to weigh in on that. But
sorry.
No, I think that's okay. Probably in line with you. I think there's nothing wrong with reporting the truth and seeking that truth. I mean, that's something that is keeping the news and the sport headlines going here, especially in the last few days, just around some of these, I'll say the COVID-19 positive tests across the sporting community, and to hear that, yeah, one of the superstars in the NHL has tested positive. I think that, you know, is a cause for concern, but at the same time, I don't think that's any more of a cause for concern if it's a fourth line guy. So, but happy that you know, I think the more transparency right now, the better. Some people to make some better decisions.
You know, to what you guys are doing, by the way, I'm not sure if you go full screen on me for a second, guys, we'll show Jason this Dino's helmet here. This Dino's helmet. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it. There it is. I'm tapping it. That is the very first gift we ever got from Coach Harris. And then, of course, all the other teams followed suit. So I want to tell you that we are huge UFC fans. But with the announcement from whatever it is 3 weeks ago or so with the cancellation of fall sports, what has life been like in your world?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. been a challenging few weeks and definitely a challenging month leading up to that decision. Dealing with the student athletes, dealing with the coaches and some parents over the last few weeks, the alumni associations that are big backers of our programs, just trying to inform them as to some of the rationale why the decision was made, but also doing what we can now to plan for really what the next few months are going to look like. What, you know, up until January right now is something what we're definitely working on and trying to get the athletes back into a situation where they can return to train is something that is first and foremost for me. I mean, our facilities right now at U of C are closed, and that'd be very similar to many of Canada West institutions or U Sport institutions. And frankly, we hope to get our athletes back and doing small group training, whatever they're allowed to do under the province health authority guidelines, and get our athletes going again.
We had Scott Florian here a couple weeks ago, right after the announcement, and he said he was getting a lot of questions from his players and their families that he frankly couldn't answer. What are some of the questions that you're getting? What are the most popular questions that you're getting, and what are the answers to them?
That's good. I don't have all the answers yet, but some of the, especially at the U Sports level, U Sports, as you know, oversees the eligibility for student athletes in Canada, at the university level at least. And, there's, especially in football, there are some specific questions around age cap, around eligibility that are unique to that sport. We also have some of our hockey student athletes that, have an opportunity. There is still that pro pathway for hockey and what that looks like. And, are they able to take advantage of some playing opportunities in the first few months of the academic year before rejoining their U Sport team? There's a lot of questions around, scholarship and whether or not we're going to be able to offer scholarships. And that's definitely been cleared up in the last couple of weeks, is that, U Sports has been very clear in saying that it's up to the institutions to decide one way or another if they want to offer athletic financial awards this year. And I know at U of C, I've said it a few times in some other media sources, that we absolutely want to support our student athletes the best we possibly can, and that includes supporting the scholarship piece. With the age cap of football, I mean, one of our quarterback this year, Josiah Joseph, would be caught up in that. So as you can imagine, myself and Coach Harris are doing what we can to ensure that there is some relief there at the U Sport level, but hopefully we'll find out more a little bit about that later this week.
Oh, well, that's great. That's answering a lot of the questions. Actually, that's probably all the info that I was looking for today. I mean, other than that, what is the university sports landscape across Calgary? I mean, obviously the players are glum. I would think the coaches are too. Have their spirits lifted at all in the last couple of weeks? I mean, have you seen a shift in attitude?
Well, we actually ran some town halls immediately after the Canada West and U Sport announcements. So I think that was 2 weeks ago today. And then follow it up with a meeting with the football athletes on Tuesday, and then the rest of our athletes on Wednesday. And as you can imagine at U of C, I mean, with 22 programs, it was about 560 student athletes that I welcomed to these calls. Doesn't mean they were all there. Some of them are still working in the summer, which is great. But, I think the big thing was providing our student athletes with an opportunity to be heard and to ask questions. Most understand. I mean, most are understanding that it's their health that we're first and foremost concerned with, and making sure that we're providing an environment that allows them to be successful. So I think the big thing, as I mentioned before, is getting those facilities back open and operational and allowing some of that smaller group training. That'll not only help from a physical standpoint, but as we know, the mental health of our student athletes is paramount as well. And having that ability to train and socialize a little bit it could go a long way.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, because sometimes I wonder in this society how much mental health is being looked after by teams. And the fact that you said that tells me that you're on it, because a lot of organizations have not. Darren has a question for you.
Yeah, Jason, you're on the Canada West. Excuse me, you're on the Canada West board, right? Representing Calgary,
yes.
And then part of that decision making group on canceling, fall sports. How close were you guys to playing? How tough was that decision to make? Was that really on the table to play? How close, you know, was that five-game football schedule and other things to actually happening?
Yeah, you know, good question, Darren. I you know, it was definitely, as far as I'm concerned, really a two-step process. We had that first step that happened back in May with the release of those revised schedules, right? Just as a, and that there was a little bit of a cost saving measure. I mean, most of our revenue sources across Canada West, whether it's in the summer months, running summer camps, there's discussion around student fees across Canada West as well, and what we'll have access to. So really trying to reduce the schedules of play. I think that you know, there were some financial considerations there. We looked at maintaining provincial travel as opposed to traveling across the four provinces to realize a sustainable league. But coming out of that decision, you know, it became very clear that we had to really dig into the coronavirus piece and the COVID assessments. And using the tools that were available to us from a, you know, from On the Podium, from U Sport, and consulting with physicians and sport med docs from across not just Canada West, but the U Sport landscape as well, to try to really determine whether it was going to be feasible from a medical standpoint to run the leagues. And, you know, I think that was an in-depth process. We spent about a month really gathering information. And at the end of the day, it was very clear that for some of our fall sports at this time, it just wasn't going to be the safest environment we could provide for our student athletes and our coaches and spectators. You know, from there, that COVID task force, we'll call it, made recommendations to the board of directors, and the board then basically put it out to the entire membership for a vote, and it was a unanimous vote in support of canceling the fall competitive championships, and then revisiting the winter sports later on in the fall. But not a decision that any of us wanted to make, but again, using the guiding principle of the health and wellness of our student athletes, we felt we were, definitely in a good position and confident in our direction.
Well, this has been enlightening for me in particular. I'm sure it has for our viewers too. Jason, I appreciate it. You're very well spoken. Is there anything else you'd like to mention before we let you go?
No, I just really appreciate the opportunity to come on the show today here, guys. And thank you for continuing to show an interest in Canada West, not just Canada West football, but Canada West sport as a whole. And for U Sports, I think it's important. And I've been saying this a lot in the last couple weeks. And you mentioned, you know, how are the athletes doing? I think we've got such a unique opportunity here in the next year to really, I think about what the first football game on campus is going to look like here at U of C, not this fall, but next fall. And I really hope that, university communities can galvanize around sport again and reengage that student population that we're so... we're trying hard to get out to encourage our student athletes and be part of that crowd. And I hope that in a year's time, especially at football, that we see those bums in the seats and some more support behind our sports. Because as you know, they're tremendous student athletes and the best coaches in Canada.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. And we're here to help in any way that we can find. Thanks, Jason.
Awesome, guys. Take care. Thank you.
The athletic director from the U of C, Jason Kurzweil. And that reminds me of my days at Mount Royal College, not more Mount Royal University. It was so much fun. Free admission to all the sports to go as a student. And we went to all of them.
Why not?
I don't know if they still do that or not, but it was fun. We'll take a timeout. We'll take a timeout. Mike Gunnis writes in. He says, has this guy been on TSN or Sportsnet talking about the decision to cancel? I don't know. Ask TSN or Sportsnet. I don't know. He just explained a lot to me that I didn't know. But that's TSN or Sportsnet's thing, not ours. We'll take a break and be back with some fun stuff. Hang on, we'll be right back. It's the RP Show on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Does this look familiar? Your fans deserve an incredible arena experience. It's time for an upgrade. Stunning graphics. Revenue opportunities are just the beginning with our in-venue display systems and scoring technology. Let us help you find the best solution for your facility. DDG. Always delivering the best fan experience. Find us at ddgregina.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years and it's been a great experience.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. A really big show today. John O'Flynn's watching from Vancouver, and he says, is it show number 260, lads? Yes, it is. Show number 260 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show, coming to you from the sweatpants capital of North America. Why does nobody else find it as funny as I do? I find it hilarious.
Yeah.
You don't?
I know, I do.
It is the sweatpants.
I wore sweatpants for the first, 30 days of
exactly.
COVID. Track pants, same thing.
So I said we'd talk about some fun stuff, and we will. I said to Darren in the break, what do you think would draw more viewers, our CFL Sim broadcast or university hockey for live streaming? And you said CFL Sim, but you had reasons for that. Let's be honest. 11,000 viewers for Friday night on this Facebook live channel for the Riders and the Alouettes. It was the first one. One of our most viewed shows was the very first one of these shows.
Yeah.
Over a year ago. So I guess people, they wanted to check it out. And it's remained strong. But on the CFL Sim, I had a guy email me yesterday and say, hey, can I get the stats and can I get the standings? He runs a CFL pool, a pick'em pool. And he's now going to incorporate our sim into his pick'em pool because it's giving people something to think about. And when I went to bed last night and woke up this morning, it's the topic of my commentary on Cat Country 98 today, is that everything today sucks. The Bubba Wallace noose story, the Austin Matthews, Steve Simmons story, players breaking out in coronavirus left and right, doesn't really look like they're going to play anywhere. It all sucks.
Yes.
You know what's fun and feels good and makes me laugh? The CFL Sim.
We had a lot of fun on Friday night. And to fill this room and have the people in here that we did all having a great time. We ordered pizza. You know, we had some pop. It was great. People gathered around in their chairs to watch, interacting with the comments that were going about 1,000 miles an hour. It's fun. And when it's fun and people have a good experience with your brand, they're going to want to come back.
When people bash what we're doing with the sim, you think you're going to make us stop? Because we're not.
Yeah.
Do you think you're making us feel bad? Because we're not. So Nelson, our VP of sim events, has sent me the stats, okay? Through 2 weeks of the CFL simulated season, we've got unbeaten teams in Edmonton, Toronto, and I think that's it.
Calgary.
Calgary's 2-0, and the Riders are 1-0. The Ticats are 1-1. BC Lions, Ottawa Red Blacks, 0-2. And the Alouettes. So figure this one out. Vernon Adams Jr. is the league's leading passer through 2 weeks with 830 yards. Bo Levi Mitchell's next at 810. And Matt Nichols. What a signing by the Blue Bomber, or by the Argos. Matt Nichols has 632 yards. Then all down through there. The league's leading rusher continues to be Marcus Thigpen of the Toronto Argonauts. What are they brewing in Toronto?
Well,
it's early.
He's got less than 100 yards in two games, right? Is it 86 yards in two games leading the league? That's impressive.
That reminds me. Nelson said he's going to flick the settings a little bit before the week three games to get some points up.
Okay.
Get some touchdowns.
But we had points in week one, and then they disappeared in week two. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Paul Totsky's watching in Waterloo. He says, Argos, the cream is rising to the top. Clearly, the Argos are 2-0. And the thing that I don't mind with the low-scoring games is the fact that the offenses are always slow out of the gate in the CFL. For real. So the fact that they're slow out of the gate in the sim just makes it even more authentic.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that Tyler Crepigny would go 0-for-2 on field goals the other night in Regina, including missing an 8-yard field goal attempt.
I know. And we didn't get a replay of it, but it was a chip shot, but it was from the left hash. It was that tight one.
Okay, now here we go. Steven Numedal watching in PA says, my wife was skeptical to start, but by the end, she was highly entertained. From Brian Warishit in Vancouver, he says, total BS, signed a Lions fan. Jack Fulton, do not stop doing live CFL sim broadcasts. We, the people, need it. I agree.
Yeah.
Continue. Sorry.
I will. You know, in Tyler Crepigny's defense, that was a virtual coaching blunder by Ryan Dinwiddie. It's a rookie head coach. There's so much going on. But what does a veteran coach do in that situation when you're pinned against the goal line at the left hash? Takes a couple of time counts to back up and give him a better angle, right?
Bad coaching. Kahari made some very questionable decisions in the game on Friday night. When we call him out on the sim broadcast. Clark tells me that Mike Hogan is currently watching the voice of the Toronto Argonauts. Hi, Hoagie.
Sorry. And I need to apologize. I said Ryan Dinwiddie. I don't know why I associated
Crepigny. You said Crepigny, didn't you?
Yeah. I don't know why I associated with him with the Argos, right? And the coach there. It was Kahari who should have made those calls.
Kahari, yeah.
So I apologize.
Monty in Saskatoon says, I can make an 8-yard field goal. Oh, really? Let's try it. Let's go out and do it.
I want some.
Because I remember when McCallum missed in the 04 Western Final, we came back to Regina. That's a story I'll tell another time. But some guy. We were in the pump.
Okay, yeah.
And a guy came up to McCallum. I was standing beside him, and the guy goes, I could kick a piano 18 yards through the uprights. And Paul McCallum, do you know Paul at all?
Oh, yeah.
Mouthy. That's how we got along. It didn't end well. So, Monty, put your foot where your mouth is. Can kick an 8-yard field goal. It's like, you're right. Like, it's a chip wedge. Yeah.
And the posts are like this. But when you go to the side, they narrow right up. You don't have that angle. Oh, it's tough.
So, as you say, in Crepigny's defense. Because he's getting roasted in Montreal this week.
Oh, yeah. No, you take a couple of penalties, you move back 10 yards, it opens up that angle. Incredibly, he would have made it.
James Wilder Jr., 78 yards rushing through two games. The leading receiver is Richie Sindani of the Stampeders, who sat in that chair this winter. He's got, what you got here, Nelson? 276 yards in two games. B.J. Cunningham, 250, and on and on and on and on. So, tomorrow or Wednesday, we will vote on Canada's Game of the Week. That will determine which game we broadcast on CFL Sim this week on this Facebook Live channel. But it was a blast. And by the way, I've had talent agents, I swear, on my mother's eyes, whatever it takes, I've had a talent agent contact me. He has a line of acts that want to sing the national anthem and perform at halftime.
Unbelievable. But it's incredible. And what I really loved about this, and this is kind of like having strategic meetings on the air.
Yeah.
But I loved how we had Tegan come in. She sang the anthem just beautifully. I really wasn't sure what to do, but then we all stood up in here and we did the anthem, and that was really great.
Nobody knew what to do.
I mean, are we going to stand? Are we going to sit? We stand. Very respectful.
Yep.
And then how we interacted with her after. Thanks, Tegan. Thanks, guys. Enjoyed the game. Like, that was really cool, the virtual thing. And then
she gave a little nice wave.
Yeah, handed us off back into the game. It was awesome. That interaction was cool.
Well, and just think about this from the artist's perspective. 11,000 viewers. That's 11,000 is 11,000. You're performing virtually on a halftime act on Thursday night virtual football or in an arena of 11,000 people. What's the difference?
15,000 is a sold-out SaskTel Center for the Grammys or for the Juno Awards. I mean, not the Grammys, the Junos. 11,000? It's nothing to sneeze at.
It's not small. We'll continue this when we come back. We'll talk about the rock star of the day, and we will line up a very exciting Tuesday. Jeff, the Stamps fan, writes in and says, Rod looks sunburnt today. That's because I am sunburnt. My wife said to me last night, she goes, I can't believe how much sun you get. We were outside the same amount of time. I get burnt, she doesn't. I don't know what it is. It's this Anglo-Saxon Danish skin. That's what it is.
You're blessed.
No, I'm not. Trust me, I'm not. We'll be back with overtime in a moment. Recap all these topics. Talk a little more, Sim. Talk about the rock star of the day. It's the RP Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, CastBox, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work. Follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Services company, LED sign rentals, video production, event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back for overtime, everybody. We've made a decision. Today, Pat Fiacco has won the Rockstar of the Day for Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions by acclamation. So he took the hat with him. And for you folks across the country that didn't know Pat before today, you saw Jeff, the Stamps fan, write in and say, why can't Calgary have a cool mayor like that? I don't know. He's ours. Pat's last election and maybe his last two elections, he won by acclamation. So he's used to it, i.e. nobody ran against him because he's so popular, they knew they'd lose.
Literally. Like,
there you go.
Like a fighter pulling out the week before the bout because he just doesn't want to get in the ring.
Right.
Right.
Pat's used to it.
Yeah.
So it's going like wildfire on Twitter, the photo of me in a Bombers shirt this morning. Look, I want to be known as the CFL guy. If we are going to have some support in helping this league, dare I say saying this league, I don't want some guy, some person in Montreal going, why would I support him? He's the rider guy, right? I just want to be the league guy. So if fans are going to send me stuff from across the league, I'm going to wear it. There's some mean things being said about me by Rider fans, by the way.
I know, for wearing the Bomber
shirt. Jersey.
And it further goes to the Sim, too. It's not just Rider games every week. It's Canada's Game of the Week, which we vote on every week. It's not always going to be the Rider game.
And hasn't been over the last year.
Now, I mean, you've got so much history in Saskatchewan that we have a large audience in the province. So they sometimes get behind the poll question, and it's pretty easy, but that's not always the case.
Tomcat writes on Twitter and says, when a gift comes, you show thanks. You may need a favor or a couch someday. Hashtag, even Winnipeg fans can be friends. Hashtag, love all CFL unconditionally. That's from Tom. So that's why award. I was showing respect to the guy, Pumper, in Winnipeg, which, by the way, he's accomplished what he wanted. He said he wanted to see Rider fans' heads pop off, and boom, success. It's happened. What the heck else was I going to say? Regarding the sunburn, Trent writes in and says, you're not alone with a sunburn, Rod. My wife, our daughters, and my adult stepkids sunburn easily as well. Something with our pigmentation, I guess. Tomorrow, where did they go? Oh. The great Wally Buono will be joining us from Vancouver. And I know Wally's got stuff that he wants to talk about.
That's exciting.
I feel like the whole world's going to be tuned in to see what Wally Buono has to say about the current state of the CFL. Mike Richards, the great Mike Richards from Saga AM Radio in Mississauga. Mo Khan, Montreal reporter. And another Montreal reporter, John Liu. Jeff, the Stamps fan, writes in and says, Stamps versus Bombers this week should be the game of the week. The last two champions. Oh, this is where it's getting delicious. Because I think Riders Ticats Thursday night is the Grey Cup preview. Sorry, but that's why we have a vote. That's why we have a democracy. And I think everybody's starting to realize that whatever wins Canada's game of the week is the game that we will broadcast nationally on the Sim on Facebook Live. The other games of the week will go on Twitch TV and we'll run the simulations there. So the point is, Jeff, retweet the poll to all your little Stamps friends because it's not a slam dunk. If any other game besides Riders Ticats wins the poll, we'll call that game Friday night. We're going to do it every week. Let's get it going.
Yes. It's going to be so much fun.
Can you put up the comment from Tyler Daku regarding the viewership for Sims games? And Jeff says, great show tomorrow, guys. Well, don't say, well, the lineup's good. I don't know if it'll be a good show or not. Ty says, if the numbers for the CFL Sim continue to trend this way, they will compete with actual CFL attendance numbers shortly. Should sponsors and opponents of esports be taking notice? They already are taking notice.
Oh, yeah. And they should.
Judging by the messages that we're getting.
Yeah.
They totally are. But I will also say this. I'm kind of seeing where Cuthbert and Rod Black, where it comes from, because I'm calling that game Friday night and you were with me going, I need to know more about Montreal than I would have ever cared about. Because there were Alouettes fans watching.
Well, of course, it's not a Riders broadcast. It's now a national broadcast. So you have
really
to
changed.
Have, you have to have both sides. I realized how severely underprepared I was, you know, to be an analyst, right? I got to have some info, you know, about these guys. But at the same time, I barely got a chance to say two words because it goes so fast.
I don't think that's going to change, by the way. I think there's a little bit of charm in that. I've had people writing me saying, can you slow it down? Can you mix in a replay? And it's like, I don't think that's what we want to do. Nelson would have to pause the game.
To pause the game and get clunky. That may be the one thing that we do is mix in the odd replay to look at a couple of things. But
for a very egregious play.
But for the most part, I mean, if we mixed in like three replays in a quarter, that'd be a lot.
So. By the way, Jeff the Stamps fan writes and he says, Arbuckle was hurt in the Toronto game, wasn't he? It was in Edmonton. It was in the first quarter. I didn't watch the game, but Nelson sent me the stat sheet, and I'm like, there's only one attempt here for Arbuckle. What happened? And he's like, he almost broke his elbow in the first quarter. Kwaku Boateng, on his first of three sacks on the day, knocked Arbuckle out of the game. Big story in Ottawa this week is whether virtual Nick Arbuckle is severely injured or not.
We need a director of supplemental discipline. We need a virtual league office because I'm thinking now, is it our job? Someone's got to send out the injury report on Monday morning. Someone's got to send out the fines. I know fake Gainer was all over that, but someone's got to do those little things so we can have all the information and pass it along.
Wouldn't it be something if there was a suspension against Kwaku Boateng for targeting or something?
Right.
Wow. Again, I would rather talk about a virtual computer game that drew 11,000 viewers in its debut than talk about all this other crap. Now, I understand the noose in Bubba Wallace's garage needs to be talked about. I get that the Steve Simmons, Austin Matthews thing should be talked about. But I'm sick of feeling gross inside. And the sim is fun and it doesn't. It puts a smile on your face. And that's what we want to do here every day. So anyways, we're done. Hi, Paul. Are we meeting? Okay, good. Thanks to Pat Fiacco, Jermarcus, Yoshi Hardrick, and Jason Kurzweil. We'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. Mountain right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.